Hello, hello, beloved listeners, and welcome to another hour of Advanced Living Radio. This is Kenneth Lesser, thrilled and delighted to be your host again today. Yes, guess what? More fun and adventure on Advanced Living Radio. You know we've made a commitment week after week to bring you value for your life because I pray on a daily basis, Heavenly Father, show me the best ways to have the most fun inspiring the largest number of people to easily, naturally, joyously experience vibrantly, exquisitely, healthy, wealthy, passionate living in the shortest amount of time with the least intrusion into their lives so we can all get our needs met and celebrate a global loving community that works for everyone. Yes, that's the goal. And with that in mind, of course, we bring you guests that are going to help support that various ways. So you have to tune in each week to see what good things are coming your way. And our show is brought to you by AdvancedLiving.com, home of the comfort technology. Not often can you plug in what looks like a digital clock and have it turn into an energy that's like the Dalai Lama showing up and meditating in your room. But go to AdvancedLiving.com and see why Jack Canfield and Michael Beckwith and Louise Hay and just so many doctors and celebrities are loving the energy of this technology. And now, for a treat, oh yes, many of us from time to time in our lives have known, yes, we want to move ahead, but something's getting in the way. And we think, well, geez, how about putting 50 grand into 10 years of psychotherapy? That will get it done. Well, but is there a better way? And sometimes, what if there was something else that we didn't even know about that was getting in our way? Well, guess what, folks? You deserve to be clear. And we have today a wonderful guest, Reverend Helen French Black. And as many of you are going to wonder, no, it is not a brand of coffee. Helen is an amazing, amazing reverend who has talents that are going to turn your life around. And what this deals with, of course, is removing blocks that are involved in preventing people from achieving the balance, both physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And she's got 18 years experience in alternative and holistic health. And she blends her knowledge of the healing process with her ability to guide a person into their own healing process and spiritual awakening. Yes, and this is just wonderful. And she's working with the energies of divine light and the wholeness of divine love. And she has helped hundreds of people to recognize who they truly are and why they are here, and also to get the things out of the way that people didn't realize were getting in their way, and to do it without them having to figure it out. It's just so sweet to finally let go and turn to someone who can clear some things. And she's also trained in Reiki, rebirthing, and an integrated awareness technique. And with a bachelor's degree in psychology and counseling, she's an ordained interfaith minister, so she brings a variety of techniques that are just so exquisite to helping you to be clear. So now, let's bring on Helen. Hello there.
Hi, Ken. Thank you for that glowing introduction.
You are welcome. I just couldn't help but being playful with your name. It's just such a fun name, Helen French Black. Of course, it's easier if we go just to your website, the one that says youdeservetobeclear.com, and then we're thinking, okay, well, we've heard of French Blue, but what is French Black?
Oh, okay, I see.
So anyway, yeah, that's when we're not on the radio with our guests, sometimes we play with things like this. Now, for the people tuning in who are going, give us some content, would you help? What is You Deserve to Be Clear?
You Deserve to Be Clear is a growth process. It's a modality slash choice slash opportunity to remove those energies. Sometimes they're entities, those negative mosquitoes that we collect throughout our human experience, so that we can have a fresh start, a clean slate, and a way to access our inner divinity, to move into the flow of divine grace so that life works, intentions manifest, and what we want in our life is easily accessible.
Wow. You gotta like that.
I have to say, your intro at the very beginning was just about my mission statement, increasing the value of life, enhancing and optimizing the human experience, removing those blocks that we've sort of accumulated through our life unknowingly.
Ah, okay. Yeah, and to me that's such a key component of it, because a person can be doing a whole lot of things for their well-being, and then there's still some stuff getting in the way.
Yep, I have a good example of that, Ken. I have always aspired to prosperity, as probably all of us have. And for years and years and years, I've been doing affirmations and taking courses and seeking, you know, higher levels of knowledge and removing this and disavowing old vows of everything known to the human existence for prosperity. I've done it. And I had small increments of success with that, but it was really two steps forward, one step back, plateau. And then I was discovering my work and cognizing what I'm doing. And as soon as I started to use it on myself, I'm always my first guinea pig, and my prosperity increased immediately. And that was because I had accumulated energies and entities in me that were sort of counter-intending. They really didn't care if I was prosperous or not. So they were looking for some of those lower vibration fulfillments that I had partaken in or entertained earlier on, distracting ways of life, diversions, detours. Their goal in my being, in my life, was their fulfillment, and that didn't necessarily have anything to do with prosperity. So once those negative energies, or I'll say limiting lower vibrational energies, were gone, my intentions were clear and unobstructed, and I manifested immediately.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh.
So it's powerful.
Yeah.
Now,
we got to wonder, who does this help, or is there anyone that this wouldn't help, I guess would be another way of coming at that particular question.
You know, I have to say I have not seen anybody that didn't have something in their energy field that needed to be cleared out. And I also say that the clearing part of this, the platform that I base this work on, is one step in the process, because without that, the other modalities and the other ways that I can help are not as effective. So I start with the clearing work. And no, I don't think there's anyone. I have parents calling me for teens, at-risk teens, and their parents' goal isn't prosperity. It's to save their teen, really, to get them back on track, to put the light back in their eyes, to get back the child they know they have. So I help older people. I work with children. I work with teens, 20s. I work with people struggling with addictions, which is a whole other area of, you know, fascination and huge success with this work. So I guess I can say that there isn't anyone it doesn't help, regardless of their goals in life.
Okay. So just part of the human condition and having an energy field.
Right.
It puts us all in that place of vulnerability.
That's a very good way of saying it.
Mm.
Yeah, you know, I asked Divine Presence once. I'll say that I dialogue with the Divine every day, daily, on a regular basis, and I asked them once, why are we so susceptible to this stuff? I mean, we have enough challenges. We have cancer, we have AIDS, we have divorce, we have war. It's like, why is it that our own personal energy fields can become so polluted? And all I got, and so it was sort of my validation that the Divine was very attentive to this question, was the silence. And I saw that we all put out these energy lines or attractor fields of negative thinking, of negative actions, negative behavior, old patterns that we haven't healed yet. And they simply attract in the like vibrations. So it was an answer that was given to me almost in silence. It was just, watch this picture, Helen. And it was these lines like, you know, I hate myself, I'm fat, I'm this. And those all put out attractor fields that attract the like in. So there are no victims. We've attracted this stuff inadvertently, and my job is to clean it out, raise the vibration of the person, help the person raise their own vibration so that they're no longer attracting these lower vibrational energies.
Ah, there we go. So some people do a spring cleaning around their house or their garage or the trunk of their car. You're helping us do a spring cleaning on our energy field.
Exactly. It's almost a lifetime cleaning, because by the time we're 40, 50 or more, I mean, younger kids collect things with bad choices, but everyone by the time they're 35, 40, 50 need a good internal cleansing of the energy type, and probably detoxing physically as well, but my job is more of the clear out the energy field. And when you clear the energy field out, the person's vibration goes up immediately. So they become a stronger person. They flow back into who they are. Their soul says, wow, now I can really get to my purpose.
Okay. And it was interesting, you just kind of mentioned that this was stuff that just came to you through seeking your own healing.
It did. I'm always aware of how can I improve life? How can I improve my situation? How can I, you know, what more is there? And I have a compassionate nature to help others. That's my dharma or my soul's path. So, you know, I see someone suffering and I look to see what can I do to help that person. And my answers are usually given to me in a way that will really help them. You know, so-and-so doesn't have enough money. Well, I could give her money, but I could also clear the resistant energy in her system or the thought form she has around money and let it then start coming to her. So my answers are usually given to me in a way that I can structure work with it and structure healing and forward motion rather than just a short-term situation.
Yeah. Now, I'm just wondering, because we'd be sitting there going, oh, that sounds good. I think I want this, but, you know, do I have to do any magic rituals? Or are there any chickens involved or bat's wings?
No.
Or, you know, so can you tell us a little bit about what exactly you do with the clearing work?
Yep, I can. The first step, I will call it a step, the first process that I do for everyone, and I recommend that I don't really do much for someone other than this first, because this is, to me, the most important part, is it's a 24 to 40-hour process, and they don't need to be with me or on the phone, obviously. I do this remotely. And I simply go into their energy field, and I look to see what's there. I have the ability to see into someone's energy field, into their being or their body or their system. And I look through, I've brought out a modality that allows me to look into the mental body, into the physical body, into the emotional body, into the heart center. So I have separated the human energy field into different categories because they all collect different types of negativity. So, and I'm able to identify it and move it out. And the way I do that is I connect with divine presence, I connect with the ascended masters, with the archangels, and with a very strong flow of divine love and light. And I channel that like a surgeon will take a laser to remove a tumor. I take divine love as my laser and divine light, and I just go through that energy field and I sort of remove, transmute, and the bigger energies that are actually human souls or that are troubled, wayward energies, they are wrapped in light and taken to their next highest place of spiritual development.
Yeah.
So everything in someone that doesn't belong there goes to where it's supposed to go. They're not eradicated or thrown onto the ground. They're ushered into the light where they really should be.
Ah, wow.
So it helps the person, but it also helps all of the energies in that person move to their next highest place of spiritual awakening or development.
Ah.
Yeah.
Ah, that's good, because for most of us, if we take a look, whether we take a look at our own lives or lives of friends, neighbors, family members, or just the drama that's been life on planet Earth for thousands of years, there's been a lot of pain and suffering. And so I'm guessing, does that mean we've had a lot of, like, stuck energies? Or?
Well, I'll tell you, I asked Divine Presence once, so how many out of every 10 people that die, which is part of our normal process, how many of those souls go to the light? And they told me that 4 out of every 10 stay on the earth, stuck in some kind of attachment, and 6 go to the light. So if you think of all of history and every 4 souls not every 4 souls out of 10 not passing on and staying stuck or finding other homes or finding other hosts or staying stuck at a place or a person or an addiction, gambling, alcohol, you know, they get stuck in an emotional place and they don't take the offer to go to the light, then that's a lot of souls that are down here, and it creates an emotional congestion, you know, on the earth that we live in that emotional plane, and then we become congested from there, you know, from them coming into us and wanting, you know, if John Doe has a drinking problem and that he came down on this in this lifetime to handle, but unfortunately he's collected 7 or 8 other alcoholic souls into his system, there's very little chance he's going to be able to recover unless he gets cleared out and he's the only one with his primary challenge, and then he can succeed.
Oh.
That's one example.
Wow. See, that that brings up, when you're mentioning that part, something about, because I was just imagining some of the encounters over the years. I've put myself through a number of different addictive things, and then through a healing presence of God, freed myself from lots of addiction. But in the process, I had also spent some time around some 12-step groups, and some of the time, it had some positive things of the instructions, but some of the group just felt pretty hard to deal with.
Yep.
And so I'm just kind of wondering about, that energy, and can you work on groups, which I guess could be a 12-step group or a family, or how does that go?
I can, and I do. I work with groups. I'll just back up a little bit and say that regarding the addictive process, it's very appealing to those souls. You know, they kind of take over because the person suffering from the addiction is kind of in a weakened place. So they can really, you know, what blackouts are, and people actually drive themselves home and don't realize it. Well, it's because they're not driving. They're not at the helm. I do work with groups. I do. And I'll also say that I have parents calling me on behalf, or wives on behalf of husbands, or mothers on behalf of children or teens or 20s, and they say, can you clear them off without them knowing? And I, of course, all of those sort of major questions I go to Divine Presence with. And interestingly enough, the answer I got was, yes, you can, because it is also about the entities and their path to God, not just the host or the child or the addict. So it's, again, it's freeing the person on the earth with the challenges, but it's also freeing all of those souls that need to go home. And I do families, I do groups. I mean, someone usually sponsors that. Someone will pay for the family to get done, and there's always a good discount for a group.
Wow. As you were saying that, it was interesting. There was used to be a number of years ago, and I didn't have my counter on for how many, there was this theme about love is never having to say you're sorry, different kinds of things describing love. And then as I was listening to you, I thought it was something about love is getting your entities a better home.
That's right. It's right. People are so thrilled when they realize that they're not only helping their loved one, but they're also helping these souls that, you know, I've seen some of these souls that are stuck in people, and they are so far removed from their source and from the fact that they are love. We call them lost souls, but they're not lost to God. They're not lost to Divine Presence. They're not lost to the big picture. They're only lost to themselves. They've lost their way. And if I may, I'll tell you some of the amazing, just one or two of these souls,
please,
that have been. So I was working on someone who had a very serious anxiety problem, and she was in our small town in Iowa where I live, and I just saw her suffering so much. I thought, you know, I'm just going to clear off. I'm not even going to tell her. I'm just going to do it and see what happens. And I cleared all of the energies. And I'll also back up a little bit and say that the energies I clear are not always human souls. They come in lots of categories. They're not always as big and as meaty as a human soul. They're also negative thought forms and little mosquito energies that weigh us down. But for this woman with the anxiety problem, I cleared her out, and there was one soul left in her being, and And I'm shown, when I ask to see these souls, I'm shown a picture of them, of who they think they are. I know that they're parts of God. I know that they belong with the divine, but they've lost that. So I saw this woman on her sort of groveling on her stomach. This is inside the person with the anxiety problem. She was dressed in garb from the 1700s, dirty shirt, plaid skirt. Everything was disheveled. Her hair was matted and dirty. Her skin was dirty. And she was laying on the floor of this person's energy field, figuratively. And I said, what are you doing in there? And this isn't meant to scare anyone because it's not her truth, but she believed it at the time. She said, I take over bodies. And I thought, oh, you do not. I looked at her and I saw this God spark right in the middle of her chest. And she had taken on this anger and this revenge energy, and she was just wreaking havoc in this woman's soul, in this woman's energy field. So I looked up to the divine and I said, well, how do I get her out? What do I do with her? And I was shown a picture of her life in the 1700s, and she had been orphaned and beaten and just kind of discarded. Very sad story. I didn't see too much of it, but just got the flavor that she'd had a miserable life her last lifetime. This is with the reincarnation picture. We could say it was a parallel life, but however it influenced her or whenever it influenced her, it was a heavy influence. And I saw that in that lifetime, she had the only person in that lifetime that actually cared about her, and I got the name Miss Rosa. So here we are in the 1700s in some small town, and Miss Rosa is the only one that had ever befriended or known this, or cared or loved this soul in that lifetime. So when I recognized Miss Rosa kind of came into this woman with the anxiety problems and stood before, in this little picture I was watching, stood before this disheveled, groveling soul. And as soon as the soul of this woman from the 1700s looked up at Miss Rosa, her whole being softened. She was like, oh, love, I forgot. Oh, and she could just see her soften. And Miss Rosa put her hands on this woman's face. And again, this is energetic and figurative, but this is what I was shown. And the woman's body just softened. And Miss Rosa looked at me and said, I'm going to take her back to a life where she remembers who she is, and then we'll go to the light. So I watched, and they went back to another lifetime where this one who had been so hurt and so angry and so malefic was actually back in a lifetime where she had been happy, flowing, fulfilled. And Miss Rosa just looked at me and said, I'm going to stay here with her until she remembers who she is, and then we'll go to the light. So I could not have made that one up in a million years. And she and my friend with the anxiety problem is now off medication, and within a week of that, she was healed, fine, contributing again, and out of her hospital visits, off her medication, and absolutely fine. So that energy was the significant contributing factor to her anxiety.
Ah, now, but you're mentioning something, and I don't know if you can shine any light in this particular area or not, because this is beyond the scope of some of my knowledge. There's so many people, I think 300 million prescriptions for antidepressants or anxiety, I mean Prozac, different kinds, Zoloft, different. There's a whole series of these things, and I understand that depending upon the one that someone is on, some of them are easier to get off of than others. And what I didn't know is your work, does that have an interplay with any of these things in terms of, you mentioned the person got off their medication, but I didn't know if there was any need to ease off, or if they're clear, they can just plain flat quit cold turkey?
Well, I wouldn't recommend anyone go cold turkey. I would recommend they just witness their feeling level and how the medication is affecting them, knowing that there's a chance they will not need it. So in her case, I think her medication was taken as needed. So it was kind of, she felt an anxiety attack coming on, she would take it.
Ah.
So she no longer needed to take it after the clearing. So the one answer to your question is this work has tremendous impact on mental health. The second answer is I am not a doctor. I would never interfere with someone's relationship with their medication or, you know, their prescriptions. So that's kind of how I approach that whole situation. I will say I have a psychiatrist and a psychologist, two people that recommend me regularly because they've noticed after my clearings that the people they are seeing respond to their therapies much better, but much more fully present in the therapy. So it's, if the person is in any kind of therapy, having the energies that are resisting that cleared out really clears the path for a much more productive therapy experience.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, one thing, and I don't know if you could shine any light on this area, I was told that a lot of these entities, that food for them, or they feed off of trauma and drama and pain and suffering, so that anything that happens when a person's going through this, that's something that is actually helpful to them, and so having someone want to get well is kind of like scary to those entities.
Well, the nice thing is they go to the light and they don't need to worry about being scared or not. It is scary, and oftentimes someone will say, well, should I tell my husband or someone who's very afflicted that they're getting the clearing? I said, tell them afterwards that you've had them cleared. Don't tell them before, because all the energies that don't want to be cleared are going to kind of raise up and have a rebellion. So it's better if you're gifting someone with a lot of afflictions that you just tell them that you gave them a gift after the fact.
Okay, that's good to know.
And that's really with people that are much more afflicted. You know, I mean, the average person, it's interesting, we attract to us those energies that represent our most troubled areas anyway. So if someone has a gambling addiction, they're going to attract that level of energy. Someone who has a gambling addiction isn't necessarily going to attract an alcoholic into their energy field, because that alcoholic soul doesn't want to gamble. He wants alcohol, you know. But even on a more healthy level, for instance, let me think of an example. You know, if we've been doing spiritual work and personal growth work, we'll call in energies that are just representative of those places in us that are not healed. We may have some from our past when a lot of parts of us weren't healed. But if we have an anger problem, we may, you know, go through a time when we're more angry, and we'll pick something up that has a significant angry vibration. You know, so it's really geared on the law of attraction, and what we put out, we bring back.
Okay. Now, this is one that may or may not have been asked, but I was thinking of two areas. One was, for most people, their time from conception during the gestation period, when, if I'm understanding correctly, and this is probably different theories on this, but one put forth that from 9 weeks after conception, the fetus is gathering information and has an awareness and is kind of keeping track of things, and that during the during that gestation process, they're aware of, you know, if mom and dad, or there's negative energies going on, if people are upset, then that kind of goes into them, and then the birth process for most people was pretty traumatic. They may have been, mom may have been given some heavy drugs for the pain, or different types of instruments used, or in a very nasty way, a C-section, a cesarean birth with tremendous drugs and tremendous trauma. So I was just wondering about, now, does that open the pathway for these entities?
Well, it certainly would for the mother. My experience is that, I'll just sort of skip to the birth process, that baby is still so pure and so much of an essence of God that they're really not that vulnerable. They come out almost as God intact for the most part. Once in a while, I'll see a hitchhiker soul come into a newborn, very rarely, and young children between the ages of 1 and 3 or 4 are usually pretty clear, unless they live in a very polluted environment with drug addicted parents, and you know, or they're. I've seen some. I'll go into another aspect of my work in a minute, but I've seen some younger kids that have been adopted go through certain things. But as far as pulling in really heavy negative energies, that soul is so fresh from the Creator and so pure that the vibration is so high, that's very rare that a newborn would. But the mother, you know, is another story with all of the drugs at birth and whatnot. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And along that the theme just a little bit in that area. I've been reading and looking into the idea of circumcision not being actually something that's so much for cleanliness, but is really quite a traumatic experience for a young man.
Well, I think they can, it is, and I think it will impact the psychology of that developing, so I don't necessarily think it pulls in negative energy, but again, that terror and that violation has its own impact on the psychology.
Yeah,
I think,
okay.
And that's kind of a segue into this other part of this deep transformative clearing. You asked me early on, how does this all work? And I said the first thing I do is a deep transformative clearing to kind of lead the way into the other parts of my work. And when I do the deep transformative clearing, and when I look in someone's mental body, which is their mind, psychology, and the way they relate to other people and their lives, I will often see, irregardless of whatever energies or entities in there, I will see a fragmentation in that mental body from trauma, shock, violation of some kind. So part of what I do that's included in that deep transformative clearing is I will get on the phone for an hour with the person who's already had the clearing, and we will heal that, I call it a mental body fragment or a personality split. So, for instance, little Georgie, age 10, is out boating with his family, and they get in a boating accident, and there are helicopters and ambulances, and maybe someone dies. Well, this is too much for a 10-year-old psychology to integrate. It's simply a shock value that 10-year-old is not prepared to handle psychologically. So very appropriately, that psychology, that mind, that little boy's mind, splits off the episode along with his 10-year-old essence and encases that. It's kind of like find a safe place. It encases that 10-year-old essence along with the distress in a cocoon-like energy field outside of the emotional body, outside of his awareness, so that he can continue functioning no matter what happened. He can continue functioning, growing, and a psychology will not implode or, you know, disintegrate. So I feel it's very important. This is a very important part of the work I do, is to bring those fragments back in and allow that wholeness to be recreated as if the person had never split. And interestingly enough, about 90% of the people I work with have some kind of mental body split.
Ah.
So that's kind of a sad commentary on life on Earth now, isn't it? That we regularly, at once or twice in our lifetimes, come across a situation that's so shocking we can't integrate it. You know, what a place that we live in, that, you know, it's the events are stronger than our ability to handle them. But thank goodness the mind has this ability to split off and save our psychology. And thank goodness again that we can then get that back and be whole again in the psychology.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. So that's a component. Is there more to the deep transformative clearing?
Well, the deep transformative clearing itself is the deep clearing of energies and entities and the mental body split reintegration process. And included in the deep transformative clearing is each person who does it is kept clear beyond the deep clearing part for 30 days afterwards. So that if someone has a pattern or, you know, a behavior or something that had in the past pulled things in or disrupted their lives, they're kind of held in this bubble of grace for 30 days, and so it allows their vibration to go up, and at the end of that month, they're much less likely to attract anything unpleasant or any negative energies. So it's a 30-day process, even though it's the majority of it is done in the first few days. So within that 30 days, they have, I include in the price I charge, I include the mental body split reintegration session as part of that free in that first 30 days, because I really think it's extremely important that if there is a fragment that it get healed. So making it part of the price and sort of free within the first 30 days really encourages people to call me and get that done. And it's a very sweet, tender process, too. It's an hour on the phone with the divine, and we create a very soft, balancing space in their emotional body, and then we invite that part back, and it's just a very tender, loving place. So,
ooh,
yeah,
boy.
It's quite a package, yep.
So that gets a person through the first 30 days.
Right. And then if they want to, they can continue being on my Keep Clear program. That's more for at-risk individuals or people facing big challenges. Then once people have sort of felt what it's like to be clear and that, oh my gosh, my life is working and I know what my path is and it's kind of like full steam ahead, then we can look at what attracted those things to begin with. And I call those the seeds of untruth or the seeds of unrest. You know, I personally may have come in with impatience or self-doubt or body image, you know, imbalances. And with the process, another process, but a deep process I've cognized, is to go in with them on the phone and do a session to remove those seeds, those vibrational components, everything we have in us, every thought, every untruth has a vibration. And I simply go in with the person and we remove those vibrations so that those challenges and obstacles no longer exist. It's really sweet. It's very powerful.
Mm. Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Now, on your website, youdeservetobeclear.com, I don't know, I haven't gone through the entire site, but it would be, to me, wonderful to hear about some stories, not just of, I mean, I love the idea of some improvements, people making a shift and losing their anxiety. We're beginning to discuss, like, some things relating to fulfillment of one's life.
Right,
And that's, you know, and that's a deeper process. And I don't know if you can share anything about some people that you've worked with for a period of time.
Yeah, let me think, Ken. Well, I'm a good example for myself because I'm a single parent for 20 years, really struggling, always cultivating, you know, my spirituality, but really kind of under the influence of a lot of old belief systems, old patterns, negativity, and really now with the cumulative effect of being kept clear every day now for several, many, many years, I'm really getting a picture of how magnificent life can be and how, what my purpose is and how I can, and then I'm also aware at the same time of all the little niggly things that keep me from being able to move forward, and I use that process just to go in and remove them. So, you know, it's a cumulative process of self-awakening and self-recognition. And I'm trying to think, you know, people get well and they fly out of my life, so I don't always know, you know, what they're up to. And that's really my goal, is to set people free so that they can go in, go on with their lives and do it. I've touched down with one of the psychologists that I have on my Keep Clear program. He just loves it so much. He just wants to stay as clear as he can. And he just emails me often how good he's feeling and how clear he is and how he's recognized. It sort of puts life in focus. I'm trying to think of any other, I mean, it's helped marriages. Oh, I should mention the relationship aspect of this. When any two people are cleared, husband and wife, or, for instance, father and son, mother and son, employer and employee, anytime two people are in any kind of relationship with each other, each has its own individual energy field, but there's a third energy field in that dynamic that is the relationship energy field. And that can collect negativity as well. So if the husband is clear and the wife is clear, but their marriage relationship energy field isn't clear, then they'll feel great when they're away from each other, but when they get together, there'll be some discord and whatnot. So I don't charge anything extra for that, but when I do a group or a couple, I always clear that relationship energy field out. Sort of a bonus that, you know, I feel is important because, you know, in a group or family situation, it really changes the harmony of the family. But to get back to your question of longevity and people that I've worked with for years, many of them work for me now. They help me. They're my support team. We're just always clear and happy and up. And the people that are really troubled go on to help their addictions or their struggles. And then, again, they kind of fall off my radar screen because they're doing very well and they don't need me anymore.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
And now, I don't know how many of my listeners have heard of, in India, they have people that do, I think the name for it is called yagyas,
mm-hmm.
or they do chanting for people, basically sending them positive energy, and this can be done on a regular basis, and I'm seeing here, folks, when you go visit, you deserve to be clear. That's all those words, no space in between them. You deserve to be clear.com. Of course, you're going to want to look on the homepage at Helen and the horse. We don't have a before picture before what the horse used to look like before Helen cleared it. I'm glad you could laugh at that. That really wasn't one of her clients, folks.
Well, it was a donkey before, and now it's a beautiful paint.
Now we can put that together. That's fun. I'm looking under services and just seeing a wonderful variety of things about the seeds of unrest, seeds of addiction, a diet for ascension consultation. So there's a number of these areas that we haven't really covered that I think are worth being aware of.
Those seeds of addiction, seeds of all those are the sort of the second stage of removing those parts of us, those little embers of unrest that we kind of have of our own. They're not entity or energy. They're not related to something from outside of us. They're really what we came in with to work on that can be removed so that grace can move in and lift our vibrations. And then I'll say that the third part of my work is really invoking and cultivating the inner divine in each person. So you have the clearing, you remove the seeds that attracted the stuff to begin with, and then you're really free to move into the laws of divine grace, really unencumbered, spiritually unencumbered, emotionally unencumbered, personality less encumbered, to really move into that place that we're all looking forward to, that place of ascension, that place of awakening, self-realization, that, you know, you see these pictures of glowing people on the beach and you just know they're completely wonderful together and,
yeah.
And, you know, that's possible. You know, that's my goal for each person. So, so it's the ultimate is creating that inner freedom and cultivating that inner divinity. But I really feel like those other steps are important because without those steps, it's very hard to have someone acknowledge their magnificence and their divinity and their purpose and their gifts if they're so encumbered with the other energies and their own shortcomings. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Now, I was seeing something here, too, and this makes mention that the Keep Clear program, that there's a monthly fee that a person can do this for a period of time, and I didn't know. And then there was also yearly and lifetime memberships, it says, are available on a first come first served basis. That, you know, that sounds intriguing.
Right. Well, given that the person has had a deep transformative clearing, they can continue to keep that level. I mean, in a way, it's kind of spiritual caretaking, but some people would rather pay for that than do it themselves. If their lives are productive and they're working their purpose and they just don't have time for a lot of self-maintenance in the spiritual venue, then I will do that for them. And it's always on a permission basis by divine presence, but I've never got a no on that. Occasionally, if someone is not, you know, walking the talk, you know, someone who has an addiction and they're still drinking and they want me to keep them clear, I'll get from their soul, you know, they need to make this, you know. So there's different examples of times where it wouldn't be appropriate, but for 95% of the people I work with, I'm happy to help them stay clear, and it really is a huge boost in life because there's a cumulative effect to being clear year after year after year, and it's very powerful. I have several people a year that want it for lifetime, and I've been promised I'll live to over 100, so I feel okay making that promise to them that they'll be for a long time, their life or mine. But so it's quite a beautiful process. It's sort of like having a housekeeper come in every single day, change your sheets, clean the bathroom, clean the kitchen, do the entire house, so your house is always crystal clear. The windows are clean. It's kind of that thing where, isn't that a wonderful gift, you know, to yourself to have that kind of internal spiritual cleanliness and light?
Yes. Now, I'm just wondering, you'd made mention that someone, I'm not sure if I've got the exact words here, that in interacting with you, do you support them to learn how to do some of this on their own to maintain themselves? Or
I do. I can teach that. I teach it in stages. And each level, I sort of check in, is this the right... I haven't taught anyone to do it for a group or for anyone else yet, because it took me about 10 years to really clean myself out to the point where I could handle the amount of energy and be completely and irrevocably aligned with divine love to the point where I could face anything and know I was safe. Because I have faced things, and I needed to know I was safe, you know, in the clearing work. So all traces of fear have to be removed, and so that's a process of cleansing and clearing, you know, that I would do with someone over the course of a year or two to be able to, for them to be able to do this work, or longer. So it's a little bit hard to replicate myself to, you know, to do the level of work I'm doing now, because it's taken me a long, long time to get where I am. I mean, maybe some people are a little further along than I was when I started, so that their process wouldn't take 10 years, but it's a very, you know, you really have to know that you're one with the divine, and you have to know in every cell of your body that love is stronger than fear, that love is the only essence in creation. Everything else is something that's forgot its source of love, you know.
Yeah.
So there's an alignment with truth that has to occur almost at the cellular level to be able to do this work.
Yeah, okay. Well,
yeah.
I mean, I'm here kind of receiving a message that that indicates, one, now that you've gone through this and you said, okay, it took me 10 years, I know from cooking, and this is not the same as cooking, because you don't eat the entities, right?
No, thank you.
Okay. Just thought I'd check. I know as I've gotten better at cooking, where it took me a long time at first, and I'm thinking that if you went through this again, knowing what you know, that 10-year process of getting you to the point that, you know, of that clarity and connectedness and fearlessness, that wouldn't be taking 10 years at the second go-round.
No, probably not. I'm glad I went through it, and I know my work has saved a few lives, which makes it all worthwhile. But I don't know, you know, if someone were to come to me and say, I want to do this work, I'd have to look very carefully and see, because I don't want to lead anyone into something that would be, you know, hard for them to do or too,
yeah,
you know, or dangerous in any way.
Sure. Well,
yeah.
what I'm looking at is one, that this is valuable, and that with more people being involved, I don't know. I'm just imagining a juggler and how many balls they can juggle, and it says, okay, well, what's your capacity?
Right, I understand.
Can you deal with 50, 100, 1,000, 5,000? Because there's a large number. I haven't counted them recently, but there's a lot of folks on the planet.
Yeah.
And
I've been thinking about that very thing, Ken, and I think two things. One, I've been assured by divine presence that the more people I get, the more people I'll be able to handle. And I do have this vision of doing large kind of mega clearings, like a mega church, but clearings, you know, for each person that comes in. So I kind of picture myself in Madison Square Garden, you know, clearing off 25,000 people at a time. So how that happens, I don't know, but I just take each step as it comes. And right now I do maybe 30 or 40 a week, sometimes less. And I know that as that grows, it, you know, my capacity to handle it will grow. And as I need to hand things off or train others, that will also come to me.
Sure.
Yeah. It's been
a
process of trust and faith and moving forward despite, you know, the mind's apprehensions. And I'll just continue doing it that way, I think.
Right. Well, are you familiar with the book Power versus Force by David Hawkins?
Yep.
Okay. Well, it would be interesting at some point. Maybe we can have you back on the show at another time, because in his book he makes mention that as people raise to certain levels of consciousness, they are able to transmute the negativity of larger and larger numbers of people.
Right.
And I don't know how that factors into what you're doing, but there seems to be some interrelationship there, where somehow between you and some other number of clear people, we can actually flip the switch.
Mm-hmm.
And do a massive planetary clearing.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
Well, I think that'd be an event I'd like to attend.
Yep, me too. And
yeah.
I'm gonna say the words and then I'm gonna duck. So, or have another plan. Have another plan in handy, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, would you please download what happens after this clearing?
Yeah, show us the picture first, and then we'll do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be good. Okay.
For now, I feel like it's one soul at a time, one person at a time, or one group, one family. It's just so fulfilling for me to help these people. The things I hear are just brings tears to my eyes on how this work helps people. So I'd be the first to stop doing it if it didn't help, and I'm going to be the first to keep going when it does. So.
Well, I sure would like to see you in a monthly column in O Magazine.
I would like that, too.
So that these stories can get out there. But, you know, when you do that, you're going to have to be, I'm thinking, in, have this training academy in place.
Right,
because
right.
Well, far too many people. So, my agenda, of course, is to lift as many people as possible in as short a time as possible. So you can tell I'm kind of joyfully nudging you in that direction.
Yeah, we're on the same boat there. Yeah, when you read your introduction that included that statement, I was like, wow, this is the same thing I'm doing. So.
Yay. Well, this is sweet. Now, folks, I certainly want you to encourage you to go visit this beautiful website, youdeservetobeclear.com, so you can look at these things, look at this opportunity, have an experience of it. Helen, we've got about 60 seconds. I don't know if there was any kind of wrap-up that you wanted to...
Well, I would certainly encourage people to sign up for my newsletter. I'm going to be having monthly teleconference, free teleconference calls to kind of move some of these seeds out for groups. And I'm also coming out with a new series of CDs that you can play for yourself, for instance, removing the seeds of anger, removing the seeds of shame. So those will be available later in June through my website. So there's lots of ways besides my direct help that we can get this all moving.
Good. Well, I appreciate that very much.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And just want to thank you for taking time to bring forward a topic that really transcends a lot of the other things that we've dealt with and reaches at some very deep and important energy levels.
Well, thank you for having me, and I'm thrilled to get this news out, and just God bless all the listeners and you.
Well, thank you. And Helen, just many blessings on your work, and beloved listeners, thank you so much for tuning in every week on Advanced Living. We'll bring you value, because that's my commitment to you. So tune in, visit advancedliving.com for some wonderful ways to help support your life. And until we meet again, God bless and goodbye for now.